Members, this evening, the Chairman, Councillor Jack Kemp, has given his apologies. He's not very well, but I have spoken to him this morning, so he's not too poorly, thankfully. But that does mean that we have to appoint a Chairman for the meeting this evening tonight. So can I take nominations, please?
Ralph Cook, please.
Thank you very much. That's moved and seconded. Are there any other nominations? And can we take a quick vote? That's the first carried then. So, Councillor Cook.
Thank you. It's a non-speaking part, right?
As ever.
That's a good one.
Can we have him there? Continuing.
So, thank you, members. I hope I don't disappoint.
So do we.
Right, good evening everyone. I'm sure to begin with, you'd all like to join me in wishing Councillor Kemp, giving him our very best wishes for a speedy recovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks very much. Okay, so to begin with, Andrew, we've got apologies.
Apologies, yes. So as I mentioned, obviously Councillor Kemp, who's substituted this evening by the Chairman for the meeting, Councillor Cook. Councillor Phillips, who's substituted by Councillor Sutherland this evening, and from Councillor Jenny Barron, who's substituted by Councillor Ray Barron, and from Councillor Chris Barron.
Okay. No substitute for Councillor Chris Barron?
No, Chairman.
Okay, thanks. Right, so the first thing is the called-in item. Now, we've got Councillor Trowbridge and John here. Welcome. And I'd like to call as well Councillor Loughran to the table, as you're one of the signatories. It wasn't signed in blood, but there we are. Can't have everything. Councillor Hobbs is not here, is she?
No.
We've got two of the signatories here. Okay, so what I plan to do is to call the two signatories to speak to begin with on. So they can explain why they've called in this item. Then I propose to go through it page by page, so that if anybody wants to make any comments, questions, etc., you've got the opportunity. And then after that, if anyone's got any general points they want to raise, we can look at that, and then we move on to the next one. So to begin with, then, we've got the update of the sports facility strategy and playing pitch strategy evidence base. John, are you going to introduce this?
Yes.
I know. I'm contradicting myself, aren't I, straight away. I feel like a politician. I noticed the politician didn't laugh at that, really, did they? First of all, the councillors who call us in. Who wants to go first? Councillor McNaughton or Councillor Loughran?
I'll go to the committee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The reason we called this in was we had a number of concerns that we wanted clarifying about the provisions within Stafford Borough and about the potential funding and what was actually happening with the provisions within the borough.
Okay. Councillor Loughran, would you like to add anything to that?
I think you're the one who is who will be involved in the formation of the group who are going to look at the strategies here. Because you see, they're going to, in fact, I want to detail about the working group of these, who's all going to be involved in that, which partners and which councillors and which officers are all going to be involved in that. That's the first thing I would like to know.
Okay, thank you very much. So members, if we go through this page by page.
What did you want John to respond to?
Now, John, yes, John, could you respond to that, please?
Yes. In the first instance, the working group is made up of myself, Sport England are the national governing bodies for the sports represented within the Playing Big strategy, because they've got the vested interests of the clubs, you know, vested interests at heart. I'm not used to this, but what we actually did as an authority, we got KKP consultants in 2019 to undertake the playing pitch strategy for us, and that's the big document that was produced. And in the following years, what should have occurred, but because of the pandemic, it's updated on a yearly basis. But what some authorities do is that, you know, speak to the NGBs through telephone calls or through emails. But the more pragmatic approach, the best practice, is to actually get the national governing body together. And that is what we're doing as an authority. And I've actually got that meeting tomorrow at the national governing bodies. So that's the Football Association, Sport England, England Rugby, England Hockey, Lawn Tennis Association, Bowls. I'll be attending that meeting where we can discuss any issues a particular sport or another sport can have. And then also we're going to be discussing how to alleviate those problems. And one of the things that, you know, is quite key at the moment is we're a 2G pitch short in Stafford due to the side changing from a 2G to a 3G, which has caused problems for Stafford Hockey. And that's one of the things we're working towards, finding a solution. Myself, as part of my role, I'm meeting with England Hockey and Stafford Hockey on a monthly basis. And currently, they're both looking at potential venues, potential sites for a 2G pitch, and that's one of the things that will be discussed tomorrow, because some of the pitches that they're proposing might have a knock-on effect for cricket, for football, potentially rugby. So they need the buy-in of those national rugby bodies as well. And from playing pitch strategy, what we want it to do is to be a working, living document, as opposed to something that just sits on the shelf and you update it once a year, which some authorities do. But this will be, this is the first face-to-face meeting that the national governing bodies have had regarding their playing pitch strategy, and then we will be having one on a six-monthly basis then, taking it forward.
Alright, okay. Councillor Loughlin.
Thank you, Chair. If I could just come back then and also mention the strategy, because it's interesting, John, I do appreciate the fact that you're going to be participating and you do have these outside bodies coming. And I wonder if it would be possible for us to be actually looking at, we have all these major developments going on within the town, and all these developers, I feel, would in fact be able to contribute to a playing pitch strategy in some way. And would it not be possible for even our planners? We need to look at not only providing play facilities in these new areas where we're developing these hundreds and hundreds of houses. When we look at the playing pitch strategy and the sports strategy, the wider picture there, why aren't we looking at a contribution that developers could actually make financially to improving our facilities there, rather than just scratching around and looking at what we have got and how can we make use of what we've got. There must be other land available that we could develop into sports facilities, because when you read through the document, you're talking about mainly shortages in, as you say, hockey, etc. But we need to have a long-term strategy. Here we are looking at sports facilities in general and what we can actually do, as I say, to involve developers in improving our sports facilities throughout the borough.
Thanks very much, Councillor Loughran. Councillor Trowbridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the ladies for calling this into the committee for discussion. What when you go into the master plan. That is when you start to gain land for sports area, for different, well, for building as well. And the developers, I think I understood what you're saying. We can ask the developers for, as we did with Burleyfields, I'm thinking of something that happened a few years ago here, and I think he was on that, on planning then. When we had Burleyfields come and 1,500 houses, the strategy then says they've got to build a destination park, they've got to build a smaller park, they've got to have a school on there, they've got to put, was it 15 million into the road? So all these different pots go into the strategy of what we'll accept when we're building big estates. But what we can't ask for, and John can correct me on this if I'm wrong, we can't ask for them to maintain, as in pay maintenance towards, because I've asked that so many times.
That's not what I'm talking about. Why can't you look at having a pot where we are not only looking at a pot to develop in that particular area? Why aren't we looking at the wider picture? Because we could do with your hockey pitches, not only in Riverway, not only wherever else they are. Why can't we have a cricket pitch in another area? Why can't we start looking at having a pot that developers are contributing to, which we as a borough council can go to and say, right, okay, we need a third swimming pool, for example.
Yeah.
Right, we've got this pot here.
We have. We do.
Could I just interject on this?
Sorry.
Just a gentle chide. It should be through the chair.
Yes, I apologies, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
Carry on, Councillor Trowbridge.
To you, Chairman. We do have a pot for a swimming pool. It's not a very large one at the moment, but there is X amount goes into the swimming pool already. And we have had pots for sports facilities, like hockey pitches. We've just done one a couple of years ago in Stone. Unfortunately, we made hockey okay by building this new hockey pitch, and then Beaconside pulled out on there, so it put us back to square one. There is not an end supply of you know, a never-ending supply of this money. I mean, to build a hockey pitch now, you're talking about £500,000. It's not pennies. It's a huge amount of money that you have to find.
Okay.
Chair, I understand that, but what I'm saying is perhaps we should be looking quite closely at strategy and not just saying, well, we can't do that because it costs all that amount of money. If we start looking now at the long-term picture.
Yes, John.
Yeah, through the chair. That's what the intention of these meetings are to do, so that we get every... So that in the past, you know, football have gone off and do their thing. We might go off and do their thing, where we're actually all sitting together to actually discuss what's going to be best for sport in general.
Yes.
As opposed to just like, you know, one going off and doing their thing.
Yes.
You know, so it might be that they can combine. And as been said, that, you know, in Stone, they've amalgamated Stone Hockey and Stone Rugby Club together. So England Rugby and England Hockey are working together to get a better facility.
And presumably, John, yeah, there'd be something about priorities as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there could be an agreement about the priorities.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right, well, I'm going to go through these things page by page then. So, page 3, page 4. Are you happy with the composition of the working group, Councillor Loughran? You did ask that question.
I'm as happy as I could ever be with the composition of a working group.
Okay, well, I'll take that as a yes. That's page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Yes, it's interesting here, at the bottom of page 6, paragraph 3.13. Currently, there are no 6-court sports halls within the Stafford. We used to have one. It was demolished, unfortunately, and we got a pokey leisure centre instead. I just thought I'd get that in. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. And page 13. So we note that, we note the recommendation.
Note the Cabinet's decision.
Okay, note the Cabinet's decision. Okay, so now we now move on to the new local plan, the preferred options report. And we can, a change of personnel, is it?
You've got the 18.
Right. I see Alex. I wondered that Alex had gone. He's behind me. It's not the pancho season yet. Right. So now, this, members, this is an initial consultation, I understand, for members. Alex is going to give us a presentation, and you can see it's all beginning to go there. After which, there'll be an opportunity for members here to make comments, ask questions, give their views. I gather it's all going to Cabinet, isn't it?
That's right.
So be careful what you say. We're all going to go to Cabinet. And they have a look at it along with all the other consultations which will be going on as well. And may I say at this point, I need to declare a personal interest when we come to discuss the Stafford Station Gateway project. Because I live very close to it. I checked with the head of legal today, and he said I would need to declare a personal interest, but it's not prejudicial. So that's straight from the sort of the legal eagle. So on that basis, I think I'll ask Alex, would you like to give a presentation? I'm just wondering, will you do it in sort of bite-sized pieces or something so people could ask questions or make comments as we go along? So you don't have to wait right till the end, and you've probably forgotten what was said at the beginning anyway. So if we do it that way, that'd be great.
I don't know this gentleman. Who is he?
Yeah, sure. So let me introduce Neil Holly, and he works with us part-time within the team, and his role has very much been about editing and doing the detail in terms of the new local plan. So Neil is joining us this evening to support and answering questions a bit later on. So what I'm going to do is I'll suggest a two-part presentation. So I'll break halfway through the questions, and then we'll move on to some more details towards the end.
Thank you. Chair, can you just which is Neil?
He's Craig.
Craig, we meet at last.
Just through you, Chair. I'll introduce myself again. My name's Craig Jordan, I'm interim head of development covering for Karen Tierney, whilst Karen is off on the
Well, well, welcome to both of you as officers. Hope you enjoy the evening. Okay then, Alex. Over to you.
Great, thank you. So what I'm going to talk about this evening is the local plan, which is currently in the process of being prepared, 2020, covering the period 2020 to 2040. And the stage that we're at now is an initial stage of the process. So the council has the opportunity to put out its thoughts in terms of preferred options on the local plan and get feedback from the community, from stakeholders, during the consultation process that will happen over the next couple of months, hopefully. And then we can bring back those comments to this committee to consider before we then go ahead and prepare the next stage of the plan. So that's just a very brief overview. So, as I say, the first three bullet points I'll very quickly go through the slides on this about the statutory context, the current plan and where we're at in the plans, and then the plan 2020 2020 to 2040 to purpose, progress, and the latest timetable. The latest timetable is important because, as the Chair mentioned, on Thursday this week, this report will go to Cabinet and we'll be looking to just amend the timetable to reflect the fact that the local plan preferred option will be going out in October through to December rather than a few months later than planned. The rest of the timetable stays exactly as it is. And then we'll get into the meat of the actual plan itself, the preferred option, in the second part. So, as I mentioned, you've got the statutory legal requirements for producing the local plan through the two acts that are listed there, as well as the Neighbourhood Planning Act. And we're obviously guided through National Planning Policy Framework and the guidance notes. We've got an adopted plan already in place that covers 2011 to 2031, including part two. And the new plan that we're now looking at will fully replace the adopted plan. We also have a number of neighbourhood plans that have been made by parishes, and what we need to do at this stage is look through each of those neighbourhood plans and see whether the policies will remain in force as part of the new plan coming forward, or whether some of those policies will be replaced, updated by the borough-wide 2020 to 2040 plan. And not to forget that there are a number of neighbourhood plans that are in the process of being prepared. Swinnerton, Hopton, Yardfield, and Coldmeath are now making progress, and so we're working very closely with those parishes to make sure that the plans work together going forward. So the purpose of the plan is to provide a spatial context, to provide to provide policies and allocations, and so you'll see this document there, the draft policies and the proposed allocations for people to consider, which will then lead through to eventually being able to determine planning applications, support economic growth, housing provision, and also this proposal for a new garden community in the borough, which is now identified within the preferred option as Meesbrook. And it provides some certainty to residents and businesses. So what have we done so far in terms of the local plan? We started out by going through scoping the issues and the settlement assessment, and then through a series of evidence-based reports and asking landowners and developers to contribute sites. We were able to assess those both through the issues and options stage, and now at this preferred options stage, to be supported by the sustainability appraisal and the habitat regulations, which is what we have a statutory requirement to do. And all of this is encapsulated within our statement of community involvement. So I mentioned the timetable for the plan. So as you can see, halfway down, we've got the preferred options stage, which is October through to December this year. We'll then move on in the middle of next year to the publication of the new plan, and that will be where the council will say, okay, this is the plan that we want to have adopted. So subject to that final period of consultation and the examination process, this is what we want to see. So that will happen in the middle of next year, submission to the planning inspectorate, and then we're over to the planning inspector to be appointed and take us through the examination process before adopting the plan in October 2024. So this is very briefly introducing the preferred options stage, which is supported by a whole number of documents, some of which are linked to the papers tonight, but there'll be a lot more that will come out when we actually launch the consultation towards the end of October, all being well. And that will include an awful lot of the evidence-based documents that support the reasoning why we've gone with the preferred option that we have. The preferred option document itself, as I say, we'll go through that in a bit more detail later, but it includes the vision, development strategy, the various allocations, and the draft policies. So as I mentioned, here's a bit of a foretaste of the evidence that will be published in October, and that will include the sustainability appraisal, which will look at reasonable alternatives and reasons, other, all of the sites that have been considered, and then explain why we've worked through and got to the preferred option sites that we're now considering, as well as the habitat regulations, which is about making sure that the environmental sites that we have across Saboa, which are really important, including Cannock Chase Special Area Conservation, but we have five others, Chartley Moss and Copney and Aqualate, etc. So to make sure that the plan is not having a significant effect on those sites. Viability, obviously really important to make sure that the plan will be viable, and so we've got a stage one report that will be coming out, along with site assessments in terms of the environmental side and also infrastructure delivery plan. Now, you may remember it's a couple of years back now, but we went out with issues and options, and over 180 responses we got to that, which is really encouraging, and that was, we were able to use those to question and think through the preparation of the preferred option. And we will do exactly the same after this preferred option as we prepare the final version of the plan next year. A series of topic papers, which again will provide people the opportunity to input into the work that we've done, and for us to be able to refine, review and improve those as we carry on going through the process. And this slide just sets out already the evidence that has been is publicly available around the local plan, and some of this is updated annually, so you'll probably recognise the authority monitoring report that we produce in December each year, as well as the various housing statements, etc. So there's a wealth of evidence that have been used to support the plan. So I'll pause briefly there if there are any questions on what I've just been through, but if we can sort of leave questions about the actual plan itself until I've introduced it, that would be appreciated.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Alex. Members, have you got any questions, comments on what you've heard so far? No, you're shaking your head. No, fine. Okay, so Alex, we'll move on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So this is the preferred option document itself that we're now going to go through. And it's important, as always, to set the context for everyone to know what we're dealing with. So there's an introduction. Key issues and challenges are flagged up within the context of a spatial portrait, and then a clear vision and objectives that the plan is looking to deliver. Quite wide ranging, as you can see, including climate change, net zero, the economy, housing, transport, the environment, design, etc., etc. So then moving into the actual document itself, The stage is set in terms of the development strategy and climate change. So we've used that as the sort of the bedrock of what the document is looking to achieve, and specifically providing context around Stafford and Stone and the settlement strategies for that, and then a settlement hierarchy to be very clear about what development will happen where and how it will come forward. And the settlement hierarchy is important because for each of the those locations that we will show, there's a boundary around the settlement to say that if the development can occur within the boundary, but beyond the boundary it can't. So through the papers you can see quite a lot of maps have been circulated with these proposed settlement boundaries included for not only the settlements but also recognised industrial estates, the major developed sites in the Green Belt, Meesbrook and the proposed growth allocations. So the remaining part of this strategy chapter provides further details in terms of climate change and our policy approach to that, and then the Green Belt and neighbourhood plans. So what we've got here is a key diagram that appears within the document to set out not only the allocations that will roll forward from our adopted plan into the new plan, which are mainly shown to the north and the west of Stafford, but also the new allocations as well, and the important environmental and transport links that we have across the borough, not least the proposed HS2 route as well. So then moving on, the actual development strategy itself will be looking to deliver 10,700 houses, at least 80 hectares of employment land over the planned period, as well as the various new developments at Stafford, Meesbrook, the Gateway, and obviously the consultation on the strategic framework, regeneration framework, closed last Thursday, as well as proposed sites at Stafford, Stonehurst, London, and Seams. In addition, there's two employment sites that were identified north of Stafford and at Ladford Fields to make sure that we can continue to provide that economic growth for the strong market that we have in our area. And all of these figures looked at taking into account existing commitments and the completions that we've already delivered. So this is the key diagram for Stafford. And as you can see, we've got really important environmental designations here through the Sarrow and Peng River valleys and Doxy Marsh. And alongside that, we've got the protected employment areas and the new proposed allocations. And it's really important that we make sure that we've got these balanced communities and that we're not only providing for the social and economic, but also protecting the environment that we have as well. And for Stafford and for Stone, there is a countryside enhancement areas that are going to be identified and hopefully provide more biodiversity enhancement and recreational activities in those locations. So I've mentioned the settlement hierarchy. So we've got Stafford as obviously the county town, then Stone's a market town. The Meesbrook Garden community, and then tier 4 are the larger settlements, which previously were mainly called the key service villages in our adopted plan, and then a whole number of smaller settlements across the rural area, which are 50 houses or more that could take some additional infill development. But as you can see, there aren't any actually specific allocations for those settlements. Those appear in tiers 1 through to 4, but the smaller settlements still have that. It's still given that ability to be able to grow and change. So moving on, we've got the climate change response, and clearly the council has made its own declarations about what it wants to achieve through its own activities, and this is embedding what will happen in the new Meesbrook.
Chair, can I just interrupt? Alex, would it benefit if you could speak a bit louder so that we can all hear?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Chair, I wonder if it would help if this was turned off. It's just quite difficult to hear what's being said.
It doesn't help, does it, with these heating or air conditioning units?
So
is there anything we can do
about
it?
Dennis, if you can shut it off. The trouble is I need to be here 10 minutes. That's a bracket. I can, if you want to pause a minute, I can go.
Shall we pause while Andrew sorts out the noise?
Would help.
And I'm